Well, church, let's give God praise for what he's done in David's life. Thanks be to God. And for what he's done in the life of our church. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Stephen Fitch. I'm the pastor of evangelism and outreach here at Mount Horeb, and it's my honor to bring the word of God to you this morning. A few years ago, I went rock climbing in the North Carolina mountains with an experienced friend. And as I looked up at the mountain, man, I was terrified and embarrassed, if I'm going to be honest. You know, with the idea of rock climbing, I'm a little scared of heights. And so I went anyway. And during the climb, I found myself tired and out of breath. I thought I was stronger than that. Looking down every few moments as we crawled along that rock face, hundreds of feet in the air, at times even walking narrow shelves along the rock face without a harness attached. Even coming close, at one point, I almost dropped my friend and let go of the rope. But we finished the climb by God's grace, and I was done. With no little nudge from my wife, you know, I counted the costs, and I was done with it. My career in rock climbing was over. You could say I retired on top, right? Well, needless to say, as I looked up at that mountain, I was terrified, and if it weren't for my trusted friend, I don't know where I'd be. Is there a mountain in your path today that you don't know how you'll climb it alone? The aftermath of a storm that you don't know how you'll face? A broken family tree which leaves you in despair, not knowing what to do next? As we gather here this morning in God's house, thinking of all that is happening in our world and in our very backyards, we are reminded that we are in constant need of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're reminded of the hope and the promise of a new creation, of a Lord who walks with us every step of a world that he is making new. This morning's story is of a man, Zacchaeus, who didn't walk away but climbed up, not a mountain, but a tree. And perhaps he too was feeling embarrassed, maybe inadequate, with many towering obstacles in his way. Yet he stayed the path and saw the only one who could help him, Jesus Christ, who one day would climb another tree for us. So let's stand together as we hear the reading of God's word from Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come into this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the word of God. It belongs to us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be holy and pleasing, acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and from ages to ages. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, last week, which was the first week of our Saved series, we heard from Pastor Bill about being saved from, that in Jesus Christ, we are saved from sin, rescued from death, delivered from the devil, and snatched even from the grip of hell itself. This week, we turn to what we are saved to. We're saved to an abundant life, a full life with a new heart, into eternal life, which Jesus defines this way, as to know the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We are saved to receive a new heart, to become a new person, as a part of a new people, God's people. Like last week's story of the rich man and Lazarus, this story too has basically three acts. And here they are. First, Zacchaeus goes out on a limb. Second, he leaps down into the dirt. And third, he runs home with Jesus. So first, he goes out on a limb. Second, he leaps down into the dirt. And third, he runs home with Jesus. So first, he goes out on a limb. In the first act, short little Zacchaeus runs ahead of Jesus and climbs up, scampers up a tree, a sycamore tree. Now, the Bible says Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. And in the first century, this means that he would have been hated by everybody. Everybody. The rich and the poor, even the Romans that he worked for, they all despised him. Why? Because he was seen as a collaborator and an extortionist, working with the tyrannical foreign imperial power to squeeze as much money out of as many pockets by any means necessary, and then skimming generously over the top. Running and climbing a tree in a childlike manner, Zacchaeus was interested. He was intrigued. And uncertain, he perhaps a bit embarrassed, but filled with curiosity and trepidation, he climbed that tree. The crowds often found in Jesus a great entertainer, but once the act was done for the night, they often went elsewhere. They walked away. They're done. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, Zacchaeus went out on a limb to see Jesus. I mean, to really see Jesus. However embarrassed, however scared of heights or crowds or public opinion, Zacchaeus went out on a limb and he lingered there. There are many in our world today who are stuck in various sycamore trees, or lost in the crowd. Many men and women who are very interested in Jesus, maybe even intrigued or astounded by Jesus, touched by the rhythms of God's grace in their lives, but for whatever reason, they won't come down to the foot of the Master. Zacchaeus went up the tree to avoid the crowd due to both their impairing of his vision and the grumbling of their lips. Perhaps many don't come to Christ because of the embarrassment it might cause, the disruption to their lives, the inconvenience, or the sheer cost. trees in the Bible are places of discovery, of encouragement, and also of decision and encounter. Perhaps some of you today feel stuck in a tree, stuck out on a limb, and you're hanging out, spectating the one who is truly spectacular, and yet the one who refuses to be a spectacle. I'm talking to someone this morning, whether here in the sanctuary or online, and you have been watching Jesus for a long, long time. For years and years, you've been spectating and watching Jesus, but you've never really encountered him. I want you to know this morning that Jesus sees you, he knows you, he loves you through and through, and he's with you. And he calls you by name. In Scripture, God called Adam's name, Adam, who in the shade of a tree hid behind some foliage in shame. He called Abraham's name, Abraham. Hagar's name, Moses' name, David's name, Paul's name, Martha's name, Mary Magdalene's name, Zacchaeus' name. And this morning, he's calling your name. John, Krissa, Jessica, Mike. Some people go out on a limb and get lost on a limb, but Zacchaeus, he tries to see Jesus. The scripture says he's trying to see Jesus, and as he dangles there between the tree's bark and the earth's dark dirt, a fire in Zacchaeus' heart was lit. His eyes were open, and he could see afresh the glorious King in full daylight. Hey, speaking of looking at something afresh, I want you to take a look at something. Now, who of you see a rabbit in this image? A lot of you have seen this before. Raise your hand, don't be shy. Who sees the rabbit? Yeah, okay, who sees the duck? Raise your hand. All right, well, just to be honest with y'all, I can't see the duck. I see the rabbit, and no matter how many ways I turn my head, no matter how much I squint, I can't see the duck. I just can't. Some of you can. Well, in a similar way, as you're pondering that, in a similar way, consider this. Think about this for a second. When some look at Jesus, they see the Lamb of God, but they don't see the Lion of Judah. But you know, there's others who see Jesus and they see the lion, but they can't see the lamb. And still others, when they look at Jesus, they see neither. They don't know who he is. Their eyes haven't yet been illuminated by the rays of the Son of God. Yet, when the light of the crucified and risen Christ, the God of the other world who breaks through into our world, when he shows up, not only do we encounter him, but the way in which we encounter all things changes, and it changes drastically. The prophet Ezekiel says as much hundreds of years before our scripture passage in Ezekiel chapter 36. He says, "Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols with which they had defiled it." Verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." After going out on a limb, Zacchaeus, falling to the ground, leaping down to the dust from which he came, and kneeling before the Jesus that he calls Lord, he receives a new heart. He is saved. He is rescued. Poor little Zacchaeus, once a rich man with prestige, stooped down and became like a poor beggar before the glorious presence of the Lord that was in that place. And you see, the ground and the glory, well, they're related. Like Moses, we must remove our sandals before the fiery glory of God's mountainous presence. Like Isaiah, whose unclean lips must be pressed to the ashy cinders before uttering a word before him. We must admit, as the scripture tells us, that God's wrath has come upon our sins because of the blood we have shed upon the land. In surrender, we must lift our bloodied hands and kneel down on our muddied knees before our King. We must leap down into the dirt like Zacchaeus. We must confess. We must repent. We must turn again to him and admit our misery, our lowliness, our lostness, our brokenness, our idols, our dis-ease, our ill-ease, our sin. And then, says Ezekiel, and only then, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Jesus puts this prophecy into action in our story. And instead of saying, and then, as Ezekiel did, he simply says, today. He says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay in your house. Today salvation has come to this house. You know, isn't it interesting, I was thinking about this week, that at every revival, from the days of Pentecost to those in Wesley's day to the Asbury outpouring of our own day, you know how all of these began? They began with dirt-clad, tear-stained, heart-broken cries of repentance, like those of the blind man still echoing on the streets of Jericho just one chapter before. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, if we don't admit that we're dirty, we can't be cleansed. If we don't admit that our hand is bloodstained, we can't receive from his hand that he's claimed us with a new name. Zacchaeus shows us that what Jesus is after is not bribers or boasters, special bravery or bravado. He's not after consumers, and he's certainly not after know-it-alls or do-gooders. No. He wants a beggar with a beggar's heart. A broken and contrite spirit, the Bible says, God will not despise. The Welsh preacher, Leonard Ravenhill, once said this. He said, Jesus did not come into the world to make bad men good. He came into the world to make dead men live. Do you hear that this morning? In other words, Christianity is not about bad people becoming good people. Here's what it is. It's about sleeping people waking up, right? It's about blind people seeing for the first time, lame people walking, the dead alive. Many of us have learned the hard way that if we try to clean ourselves up before we come to Jesus, you know what's going to happen? Is we're never going to come. It turns out the gospel is not behavior modification. It's not faking it from the outside in, but it's heart transformation from the inside out. Not white-knuckled effort to dress the part and fit the mold. No, the gospel is a blood-stained cross and a Savior who dresses us with his own glory and molds us into his own image. The gospel is not therapeutic, moralistic religion, but a divine heart surgery by the divine physician. The gospel's not religious morality lessons for kids or strategies for success, but a summons to come and die with Christ, who is the only victor over sin, death, and the devil, and the only way, truth, and the life, and the only one who holds the keys to hell and holds the keys to heaven and holds the keys to the only life you were meant to live. Abundant life, eternal life. When my wife, Rachel, was pregnant with our son, Isaac, she all of a sudden couldn't stand the smell of beef, and she couldn't stand the taste of Greek yogurt. And so needless to say, she couldn't stand me. And it's still true to this day. It's still true. You see, when we're born again in the Spirit, we cannot stand sin anymore, not even the smell of it. Zacchaeus is not only forgiven of his sin, but he's restored to a new life. Notice, the scripture says Zacchaeus, that he received, he restored, because he was redeemed. He received Jesus joyfully, and he restored to the poor half of his wealth. He made fourfold restitution for his stealing, which exceeds even what the Old Testament law requires, because Christ redeemed him. Or say it another way, he was saved from stealing, wheeling, and dealing into killing his sin, sealing his life in the Holy Spirit, and dealing out the blessings of God. I was once asked by a confirmation student, what is a Christian? Is a Christian someone who goes to church who is a good person? And after thinking about this for a moment, I gave him a fairly traditional Methodist answer. I said, a Christian is one who, filled with the Holy Spirit, loves God, loves neighbor, and follows Jesus. Now, that's true. I believe that's true, and it's also a tall order. Have you ever met someone, especially in January, who talks a big game about dieting? They talk about no sugar, right, and how they're going to stick to it, and then the next day, man, you're eating a Twinkie. I don't believe you. I shouldn't believe you, right? Well, as Christians who are born again in the Spirit, how can we expect others to believe us when we say that he's made us brand new? Well, there's a test. There's a couple questions we could ask, and we as Methodists used to ask these kind of questions all the time, and it would go like this. Here's some questions. Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. Zacchaeus was. Are you more gentle to your spouse this year than you were last year? Are you more self-controlled now than you were before you were a Christian? Do you not get irritated like you used to? Do you bear wrongs patiently? Can you not stand the smell of sin in your life? Do you have more affection for Jesus? How about this one? Do you have more affection for Jesus now than you did last year? More time enjoying him on your knees in the presence of the Father, do you? More love for your neighbor than last year? Does your spirit cry out with the Holy Spirit, Abba, Father? Abba, Father. Friends, Christ didn't come simply to make us better. As Tim Keller is fond of saying, Christ lived the life you should have lived and died the death you should have died and done that which you could not have done for yourself so that you can live, really live, today. Zacchaeus was filled with the Spirit of the living God, one with blood-stained hands made clean, a hardened heart made new, and a short-statured man who lived into the full stature of Christ. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anyone, he says, who is in Christ, not someone or certain ones or this one or that one. No, anyone, you, in Christ, today, leap down from that tree, kneel at his feet. I love how the New Living Translation says it this way. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new person. Zacchaeus is a new person. The old has gone and the new has come. Amen. Now, the grumbling crowd, I mean, they're puzzled, right? Because they don't know what to do with this. I mean, who is this Zacchaeus now? We thought we knew who he was, but we thought he was a sinner, a tax collector. We thought he was a rich guy. We thought he was a short guy. But now, I mean, look, he gave almost all he had away. Is he a rich man anymore? I mean, now he's right with God. Is he a sinner? I mean, now he's standing taller than I've ever seen him stand. Is he a short man anymore? The crowd grumbles that Jesus had gone to be a guest of a sinner, but that doesn't define Zacchaeus anymore. I'm talking to someone this morning who has been weighed down by what other people think of you. Oh, well, she's part of that family. Well, he was part of that ordeal years ago, remember? Well, you know, she's no good. That guy's a loser. Well, in Christ, no, we are a new creation, right? We're given a new name, a new citizenship. We receive a new heart. We're grafted into a new people with a new purpose. The old Stephen is dead. He's dead. Good riddance. I didn't like him either. The truth is this morning that you are not defined by the shadows of your past or the ghosts of your present, by the rumors of yesterday or the grumblings of the crowd today. The power of the gospel means that you don't have to be who you were yesterday or who you are today. You can be a new person right now in Christ. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation today, right now. Paul says in another place, in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, come down from that tree and kneel and repent and call on the name of the Lord, and you can be a new person today. You have been crucified with Christ. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. You can run home with Jesus today. As the hymn writer John Newton once wrote, you were once blind, but now you can see, once lost, and now you're found. He also goes on to say this elsewhere. He says, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be in another world, but still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And elsewhere he says this, although my memory's fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Amen. Friends, thank God that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Me, you, Zacchaeus. So, we've seen Act 1, he went out on a limb. Act 2, he leapt down into the dirt. And Act 3, finally, he ran home with Jesus. Jesus says in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. When Zacchaeus takes Jesus home, think about this, he receives Jesus' whole entourage. And we're talking about a zealot. I mean, those guys were crazy. You should read about them, right? Fishermen, you know how dirty they are. A tax collector, Matthew, not to mention all the women. And he brings them all into his home, and like a dirty, beautiful, messy wedding, they come together as one new people. We're not saved to an isolated, stuffy existence as the sole creature by ourselves with God. We are saved into a new people, the great multitude feasting before Christ at the end of the Bible. You can't get the kingdom without the king. You can't get Jesus without the church. In Jericho, a feast broke out. Salvation came to this house, like the house of Rahab generations before. Zacchaeus brought Jesus not only into his heart, but get this, into his home. A home marked by holy habits like justice, righteousness, mercy, and truth. And this was God's new purpose for us all along. A new heart, a new people, a new home, abundant eternal life with Christ the Lamb and God the Father and his people forever. Pastor Bill drew our minds last time to that famous painting of Jesus knocking at the door, as you see here on stained glass. Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Brothers and sisters, this morning he is knocking right now. He's tapping on the rocky, icy, stony walls of our hearts, waiting for us to let him in. There's a story of a group of advanced climbers on the chilling steps of Mount Everest. And as they are stabbing their ice picks carefully into the rock face, they climb like they're chilled ants on a wall of ice dozens of stories tall. And Josh, the most experienced climber, he's at the middle of the pack when all of a sudden, like a nightmare, he hears a scream and panic breaks out. "Dave, Dave, where did you go?" And a few moments pass, and another scream, "Mike, Mike," as he falls down the mountain, followed by a frenzy of voices, one after another, until Josh is the only one left. Doggedly determined and only having one direction he can go, he climbs and climbs and climbs, all the while the rest are attached to his single harness, screaming from below. As he gets closer, the rope, like a crimson cord, constricts him, stretches all across his chest and thighs, lacerating his body over and over again. Finally, he and he alone, dirtied, bloodied, and white-faced with exhaustion, reached the top and lifted the others up with him. Jesus Christ came in the middle of human history and scaled the walls back to the Mount of Paradise, seeing our mistakes and sins, hearing our cries from below, experiencing the consequences of our falls and the fall, and endured the cross, despising its shame. He bore it, absorbed and carried it all upon his lacerated shoulders to the very top, where we will feast in that new city with Christ forever. Jesus, who climbed upon the tree of the cross for our sake, is calling you today, right now, to leap down from your tree and meet him in the dirty and dusty foot of the cross to make a home with him. He's at the door knocking. Won't you leap down and hearken to his voice? Let's pray. Gracious and good God, we thank you for how good you are for us. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne, for this in this moment of prayer in this last song. Lord, that we might encounter you, whether it's for the first time or whether it's for the 100th time, whether it's to receive eternal life or whether it's to return and repent and call on your name again. We give you thanks, Lord. We offer our hearts and our lives to you. We pray all this in Christ's holy name.